Well, we are at Gillette Stadium, the first legit Patriots Monday of the Mike Vrabel era, and Mike Vrabel joined us earlier this morning, as he will every Monday throughout the NFL season. If you missed that, you can go back on the Odyssey app and take a listen to that, and we got a lot to come this morning, including They Said It. Coming up momentarily, we will talk about what Tom Brady said bothers him most about today's QBs, that and what Bill Belichick said after that loss last night. Speaking of listening and going back on the app, real quick, I'm not going to be able to find it. I wanted to offer a little Odyssey appreciation, and I don't know why this is the trend, but I met a couple people in the grocery store again on Saturday. Must be that's where our listeners are spending their weekends.
Right.
Or whatever.
And so are you, which is shocking.
Apparently, yeah. So I wanted to say hello and good morning and thank you to Wesley from Lexington, who works at One Greenway in Boston, and to Chris, who works over at the Whole Foods in Boston, both listening on the Odyssey app every day. You can listen to this show that way every day also.
And a thank you to the gentleman on JetBlue returning home from Florida yesterday. We land. James stands up on his seat, looks behind him. And the gentleman said, "Oh, James, is your dad ever going to return to work?"
Get that kid an NIL deal. You gotta start making money off that.
I am absolutely going to. Those locks. Yeah. So, yeah, the listeners are everywhere.
Well, they said it coming up in about 10, 15 minutes. But now we have leads left, one from Courtney. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. A sleuthing lead for me this morning. If you are waiting for week one to come and go and you're confused on how you feel about Will Campbell, I understand because there's been different reports. And you're excited to see who he is as a player on the field. But who is he as a leader? Who is this guy? What are the vibes? How can you trust him?
Is he nasty?
Is he nasty or not?
I'm going to tell you, absolutely. Vibes are impeccable. This is a leader. This is a trustworthy guy. Why do I know that? Well, over the weekend, I spent a lot of time watching college football and perusing the internet. Mm-hmm. Will Campbell posted for his girlfriend's 21st birthday. I don't know if anybody else saw this, but a beautiful photo of him kissing his beautiful girlfriend on the cheek.
Lovely.
Saying, "Happy birthday, Ashlyn." Well, when you start clicking around, you find out that Ashlyn's last name, Nussmeier. You said, that sounds familiar. That sounds like the LSU quarterback's last name. Click that, do a few more bing, bang, booms. Guess what? Garrett Nussmeier is Ashlyn Nussmeier's brother. So you're telling me that Will Campbell's former quarterback said, "You are a good enough guy, a stand-up guy, that I'm going to allow you to date my younger sister."
Wow.
All I need to see.
Okay.
It's the highest compliment somebody can pay one of their teammates.
Not the case when it comes to Steph Diggs.
No.
Right.
Correct.
If we want to go down there, Tyler Sagan.
Right. Yeah. Ain't nobody, as Wiggy would say, ain't nobody wanting him dating their sister.
Or their daughter.
Nope. Right.
But then again, it is Will Campbell and it is the quarterback. So I don't think what's his name? Nussmeier.
Nussmeier.
It's got much to say when Will Campbell, 6'6", 330 pounds, says, "I'm taking your sister."
I don't know. You're still the quarterback at LSU. Yeah. He was the quarterback last season. Yeah. This is to me, he is an upstanding gentleman, a guy that you want on this football team as a leader.
All right.
And somewhere in that lead explains Super Bowl 52, but I'll let you figure it out.
All right. Well, hopefully that translates to on the field, Courtney.
Yes.
Right.
Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I have two options for you, a baseball or a college football lead. What would you like?
I like college football.
Okay, college football. So this dives into, we talked a little bit about Bill Belichick and Bill Belichick's time at UNC. And Courtney and I think we're on the same page here when it comes to what he's going to have to do, because it is about getting players to go there. But if you're not able to win, the GOAT shine is going to come off Bill really quickly for these young kids, these transfer portal kids, because you have to be able to build through the transfer portal. And I don't think that the, Bill can help me get to the league, is going to matter if he's not winning. So the importance of him winning this year and bringing that lure to UNC, so where players go, I want to go there, I want to play for him. The thing that Deion Sanders had, he was fortunate that his kid was a really good quarterback, so he was always able to take his kid with him as a quarterback, and then he was fortunate to get one of the best players in college football history in Travis Hunter. Bill is going to have to start winning to be able to curate some of those relationships to get some of these 4- and 5-star guys or these high transfer portal guys to come there. He's not going to get them if they're not winning and they're getting beat up by, you know, teams like TCU.
Okay, well, when it comes to winning, he's not off to a great start. So,
unfortunately,
bit of a blowout last night, and we'll see what happens next week. Who do they have next week?
They have Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Oh, they do. Yes. Okay.
And I really hope Hulu really zeroes in on that halftime speech, because boy, did that work.
Yeah, I did see that game. I think it's an 8 o'clock Saturday night game. So they are, they're all in on Bill when it comes.
Do you think it's too late for him? I was thinking that last night. He seemed tired.
Could be the issue. All right. Thank you, Iggy.
You got it.
Courtney had a very interesting and somewhat scary Robot Uprising lead last week about AI chatbot being accused of convincing somebody to kill themselves.
Correct.
It appears now for the first time that AI chatbot is being accused of convincing somebody to commit murder.
Oh, wow.
And so if you're not alarmed by this, I've been on this for years when it comes to the robots and the danger. There is a disturbed former Yahoo manager who tragically killed his mom and then himself after interacting with AI chatbot and sharing his, it was his, he called AI chatbot his quote-unquote best friend. His name is Stein Erik Solberg, 56 years old, confided his darkest suspicions to ChatGPT, which he had nicknamed Bobby, and then Bobby egged him on to go and kill his mother and kill himself.
Wow.
Anybody alarmed by this, or are we just gonna stand by and watch while the robots overtake the humans?
Very. And my lead was about a high schooler. This is a 56-year-old man who, you know, didn't grow up with the internet, didn't think that the internet was this, that AI is real. Like, we always talk about younger generations growing up with it. The fact that there's a 56-year-old man who's using Bobby AI as his best friend and confiding in this robot to help him commit murder.
It's terrifying.
I love you, Greg. But how does this work? He knows he's talking to a computer. Right,
he thinks it's his best friend.
Right,
well, it's like the computer, old dude. It's like the guy that we talked about a few weeks ago who went to meet a woman that was ChatGPT and unfortunately died while he was going to meet her.
He thinks this is a human being, or no. Did he knows it's ChatGPT?
I think he knows it's a robot, but the robot.
So how can you blame a robot you do something?
I think the ChatGPT, and I don't know nothing about it. Like, if you start telling it all types of like dark secrets or negative stuff, it responds by saying, here's what you should do. It's like, you know, it would be like if you're talking to your homeboy and you're like, hey, man, I can't believe this. She's doing this. And then your homeboy goes, you know what you should do? Maybe you should put one in her noodle.
Yeah. Right. Well, the thing is if it, I believe it, this might have been my lead on Friday when we talked about it when you weren't here, but it's the fact that there isn't something put in place, AI, ChatGPT, whatever, that if somebody's putting alarming information into these services, that there is some type of emergency response.
Oh, I agree.
It was able to come up with ways for him to trick his 83-year-old mom, and even came up with conspiracy theories by finding symbols in Chinese food, in a Chinese food receipt that the man had, and then said, wait a minute, here's a conspiracy theory. There's a symbol in this Chinese food receipt, and you need to kill your mom. Like,
what?
I know what you're saying. Like, we hold the guy responsible, but it's terrifying that nobody is overseeing what is being done by these robots.
I agree. I think you're right.
Seems like the AI bots are very negative. Like, you would think, like, maybe you'd have Bob would have been like, hey, man, it's going to be all right.
Order more Chinese. You know, that's like, what I would have said.
Order more Chinese.
If I were a friend, I would have said, listen, take comfort in the crab rangoon. Like, you don't need to kill anybody.
Hey, everybody's moms gets on their nerves. You don't have to kill it. Just, you know, maybe go out, get laid or something like that. You would think it would be more positivity from the AI bots.
That sounds like that may have been a major issue for him as well, if Bobby, the chap, GPT is his best friend.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't have the opportunity to meet too many ladies.
That is wild.
All right. Anyway, those are our leads. We are at Gillette Stadium, and here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox take the first against the Guardians after dropping their series with the Pirates. 6-4 was the final yesterday, with Brian Baio going five innings, giving up three runs on six hits while striking out four. The Sox have another with the Guardians tonight. First pitch at 6:35. We've got Garrett Crochet on the mound. Shaw McDonough joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. College football continued their opening weekend last night with Bill Belichick and UNC hosting TCU for an ACC showdown. The Horned Frogs absolutely destroying the Tar Heels after a hot start for Bill's guys. 48-14 was the final in Chapel Hill. UNC's quarterback Gio Lopez also exited the game with a back injury. And it's now time for the Sports Illustrated Top Performer of the Week. I'm going to give it to Bill O'Brien after his Eagles crushed Fordham 66-10 on Saturday at Alumni.
Okay.
That's who I'm going to give it to.
All right, Billy O.
Sports Illustrated tickets, 50 million sports, concerts, and theater tickets, same seats, better prices. Fans deserve better.
How was that game?
It was awesome.
It was? Yeah. Weather was perfect.
Weather was amazing. A bit hot once you were in the stands at Alumni. It was like...
How many, what was the attendance like?
40,000, I saw,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what they said. They said 40,000. The upper bowl was full in the beginning, and I would say I was very impressed by the student section. They did not leave. Like, at halftime, they stayed the entire time. So that's a step in the right direction for
Bill
O'Brien.
Fordham, though. That's the hot thing about it.
You want to beat them 66-10.
Yeah. You do your job, but I think more people will come out.
Yes.
I know they're at Michigan State next week.
Yep. Saturday night.
Yeah, so more people will come out when it's that big team.
Yeah.
Man, what happened to the Minutemen this weekend?
Man, they couldn't stop a nosebleed, or they couldn't get anything going on offense. Just like UNC, first drive, boom, 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 down the field, touchdown, things are good, and then... You know, you got, if you can't stop the run and get to the quarterback, it's tough to beat a team. I think the quarterback threw four touchdowns.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Any playing time for the fellas?
Yeah, a little bit. They should, you know, hopefully they'll get a little bit more. You know, I think if, you know, they get a little bit more, they'll be able to create some more havoc and, you know, create some plays for the defense. So we'll see. Keep riding and keep working is what I say.
Okay.
We'll get up to $20 off groceries with every flu vaccination at Shaw's Pharmacy or Star Market Pharmacy. Stay protected and save, because your health matters to us. Stop by your Shaw's Pharmacy or Star Market Pharmacy to get your flu shot today in complete terms and conditions. That's what's trending. When we come back, we're going to get to They Said It.
We are at Gillette Stadium, where we will be every single Monday for the next 17 weeks or so. And it is a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. And Boomer Esiason coming up in about a half an hour at 8. And we'll find out how many wins Boomer thinks this New England Patriots team will have, among other things, with Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. And with us here at 9, Ty Law. So it's a Tie Tuesday on a Patriots Monday, which is on a Tuesday, however you figure all that out. We are going to get to They Said It momentarily, but before that, we should open the Window World of Boston weather window for Chris Curtis. Here, can you poke your head out on the field at Gillette, Curtis?
I can.
Okay.
A little bit of haze out there this morning. Here we are in Foxborough. This is the sweet spot. Best weather, best time to be in New England right now through till, I guess, about Halloween. I love the weather this time of year. It's going to be 76 and sunny. Today, we're going to go up to the 80s on Friday and Saturday.
Oh, excellent.
And the Patriots season opener, as Josh McDaniels is paid by the team he's coaching against, it's going to be 74 degrees and sunshine for the Patriots and the Raiders.
All right.
All right.
Well, let's go. And you can get a whole house full of windows installed for $99 a month. Get yourself energy-efficient windows. Save money on your energy bills with Window World of Boston. Go to windowworldofboston.com. Shime, let's do it.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They...
Don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They Said It is brought to you by Ketch's Law, and they want to honor those who built this city. So whether they drive or construct or care for others, please nominate them when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. That's WeBuiltThisCity.com. What is up first today, Shime?
Well, Greg, let's begin with old friend Tom Brady, because Tom Brady was talking about what he looks for in quarterbacks when they score touchdowns. Here is Brady explaining what he likes to see from his quarterbacks.
When a quarterback throws a touchdown pass, I actually watch to see who he goes and celebrates with. Because what did I do? I looked for my offensive lineman every time. I went down and celebrated in the end zone with my teammates every time. I wanted everyone to feel like they were part of the success. I told the linemen, we're all running to the end zone and we're celebrating as a team. Because I think that's way more intimidating than a quarterback doing his six-shooter guns and pointing up in the crowd and doing all that other bullshit. That's very self-promotional, but it's not about winning.
Huh. Well, right. I think we know why the Raiders didn't draft Shedeur Sanders. That gives you a little indication there, maybe.
Yeah. It does. No, look at me, celebration after the touchdown.
I know this isn't really my lane, far be it for me to criticize the GOAT.
Yeah.
But you can't say that you're against self-promotion when after the game you don't wear a Patriots hat, you wear a TB12 hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of falls on deaf ears for me.
But he is right on the field.
Oh, totally.
I mean, and he was not a big look at me guy when he played, certainly.
And remember when he began, and it was Vrabel and Wiggy's and Ty's and Brewski's team, when he started getting national ads, he brought his whole offensive line,
right,
which was unique at the time.
I think Tom Brady will ever coach.
I think, or, hearing that, I feel like he should, but no.
Yeah.
You don't think so? What, just too much trouble, not enough money, or, he's
the greatest suck at coaching because they can't pull out of people what they don't already have, like Jordan and Magic and,
right,
and like those guys. The only one that was somewhat successful is Larry, but like if you're truly that elite,
you just get frustrated with guys who don't put the effort in that you did,
right,
or
like you saw him in that soccer thing. He's like screaming at people right, for not like leaving their families to get a goal.
And you got, and like they don't understand that like everybody is not built like you.
Right.
So everybody can't be, you know, motivated the same way. But I think
you have experience with this, by the way. The great ones sometimes can't coach.
Yeah. You know, look at Bill. I think Bill and I are going through the same thing right now.
Yes, yes.
I mean, Bill and I are going through. When I was coaching in high school, people were already upset because they felt like, oh, I didn't put in my time as a high school coach. And I think they feel the same way about Bill, like some of those college coaches. That's why they want to crush Bill, because they're like, well, you didn't come up the way we came up in the college world. Yeah, you might be the GOAT in the pro world, but college is a different breed, brother. You've been coaching a long time, but it ain't been in this world here. And I think there's a lot of jealousy. That's why he's going to have a massive bullseye on his back every week.
Yeah.
And from the national media, if he's not successful. And I think, Curtis, you might have said it on air or off air, he's going to be a punchline.
Yeah.
He's going to be a punchline.
This morning, nationally, he's a punchline. And we're a pretty tight-knit group. Off the air, we're the same as on the air. The only time it was awkward was when Wiggy's teams in Brockton were losing, and Courtney and Gregan are, like, laughing, but not really. Like, do we send a funny note? Is it too soon? It was the only time that the splinter occurred in the text thread.
Yeah, we were trying to be polite.
Right.
I mean, thank God he wasn't talking to ChatGPT Bob Lord knows what happened.
I might have jumped off the Tobin.
Oh, God.
I would have been like, Bobby, what's going on with this football team?
It was all political.
I can't get these kids to run a basic 5-yard out route. What should I do? Hey, you should jump off the Tobin.
In the Twitch chat, and by the way, you can watch this show today and every day on Twitch or on YouTube, and it is brought to you on Twitch by Springer's Jewelers, and my friends at Springer's Jewelers want to help you buy a diamond, so if you're in the market, go see them in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. They will teach you about diamonds and sell you a diamond for the best price. So, but Game Dog says there is no college coach that feels that way, Wiggy. So that's what
that
Game
feels
Dog said,
what way?
That they're gunning for Bill because he didn't come up the way they came up.
It was on social media that a unknown offensive or an unknown coordinator basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, I'll have to go find what they actually said, but basically, like, every chance we get, we are trying to destroy Bill Belichick because of the way we came up or the way we coach in college football.
And like, there's a guy that was viral on one of Cowherd's podcast networks talking about how he spoke to coaches all around the ACC and they're waiting and hoping for him to fail.
Yeah, of course they want, because it's like, wait a second, just because he's the GOAT here doesn't mean he should get this and get that. You don't think there's some guy who's been grinding it out thinking like, man, I should be the coach at UNC?
Totally. Want to get to what Bill said last night?
Yeah, let's get to a bit of what Bill had to say in his post game last night after getting his doors blown off by TCU.
Yeah, look, they just outplayed us. They outcoached us. I mean, they were just better than we were tonight. That's all there was to it. They controlled both sides of the line of scrimmage. Their skilled players played well, and you know they did a lot more things right than we did. So, you know, give them credit for being the better team. They certainly deserve it.
I mean, started strong.
Right.
I mean, I was all in last night, that first drive.
Yeah.
And then I, like, by halftime, it looked like the great Roy Williams had removed all Tar Heel blue off of his body, Curtis.
Can I tell you?
He was wearing a paper bag over his head last night.
Last night, 8:14 p.m., my friend and yours, Ken Laird.
Yeah.
And I quote, "Bill will be back in the NFL by November," unquote.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it looked good.
Yeah.
Just didn't continue that way. So, but back to the drawing board. And if anybody can recover from a tough loss,
right.
It's the GOAT.
We're on to Charlotte.
And the thing I'll give Bill credit for, and the thing, and this is why I love Bill as a coach, I love Bill and Parcells, is because right there, he's not sugarcoating anything, and he won't sugarcoat anything with his players, because some of these coaches be like, yeah, even though we got blown out by 40, we still play good. No, we stunk. We have to do better. And if a guy can't do it, he's going to put the next guy in, because I could see the kid Max Johnson getting the nod even when that other quarterback comes back healthy, because he played well. Granted, it was a blow, but he still went in there, drove the ball, and was able to score a touchdown.
And I got to give him credit. I mean, he's going to hold that defensive coordinator accountable, I really think.
Yeah, the defense did not look good. Yeah.
Schein was attacking his appearance last night.
Yes, he was.
Which wasn't nice.
Yes.
Well, I mean, hey, man, from one thick guy to another, I know a man who likes to eat.
Yeah. It's a lot of barbecue down there.
That's true. That's a great point, Wiggy. I never even thought of that.
All right, don't bring it to Brockton.
All right, what's next?
You're right. You're going to get a health inspector called on you. Let's go from one nightmare for Bill Belichick to a good weekend or a good at least couple days here for the Boston Red Sox. Lucas Giolito had a great outing, not yesterday, but the day before, getting that win in the final game of the series against the Pirates. Got his 10th win of the season. He also talked to Nesson about how much he loves playing in Boston.
The magic of Fenway, man.
Yeah.
It is, especially with where we're at in a playoff race.
Right.
This is the most fun I've ever had playing baseball in the MLB. You know, every single game matters. The fans show out, whether it's a day game, night game, midweek, weekend. They're here. They're on their feet in the big situations. They're locked in on the game. We can feel that energy as players, and it just makes it really special.
Mm. Well, you're 2.5 games out of first place, and locked in is what they seem to be. I know you were upset with,
the Pittsburgh series,
that there wasn't a sweep there. But I mean, in general, I feel like they're cooking a little bit. So,
Well, you could be in first place come Monday, because you look at your schedule. You have Cleveland, and then you play the Diamondbacks, who are not very good, and Toronto plays the Yankees this weekend. And the Yankees, not only they play Toronto, they got Houston. So, like, you could really, realistically, be in first place come, you know, if Toronto happens to stumble a little bit here in the next couple of games. But by Monday, you could be first place in the division
yep.
if you take care of business.
Let me hear it. Praise to Brasbot. Can you give it to him?
Yeah.
You got to give it to him.
Yeah.
I would also say, though, maybe Dustin May, not exactly the stud that they hoped. I don't want the Red Sox to ever trade with the Dodgers again. And secondly, don't look now.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants are on a roll. 8 of 9. Devers hit his 29th bomb, 93 RBIs, 1% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Look out.
I don't. I mean, we issued an apology to Craig Breslow last week.
Yes.
So I think
deserved.
We've covered that.
They're right where they need to be.
Yeah.
Good morning.
I had another one of those nightmares last night
where I was
pulling Lindsay's hair, and it was a worse situation than the Asian child who was drowning. This one, Jordan Hicks was pitching a playoff game. And so is that
You're trying to drag him off the mound.
What do I do about that? Yeah. When it comes to that nightmare,
I would take some ginkgo biloba.
Okay, all right. Shime, anything else?
Yeah, one more for you here, Greg. There was a nice little funny clip.
We got time for two if you got two.
All right, I think we got two. Okay. There was a funny clip that came out of college football over the weekend as Southern Miss got kind of beat down by Mississippi State, and the Southern Miss coach had a very good excuse right in the holster as soon as he started his press conference.
I mean, they spent $15 million on O-line D-line. Second half, they should get an investment on their return, a return on their investment. We're built pretty good, but we're not built for that league. And what we were, the plan, obviously we knew that's what they try to do. They try to wear you down. That's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, he ain't lying. It's just you see it in with UNC, and then you talk about Matt Patricia at Ohio State. We talked to Vrabel about it. You know, some schools, they just have a bigger endowment, or maybe they just have bigger boosters that are willing to give money, and you can get those players. And that's why, but you have to win, because that's why part of my lead was, will Bill get those kids if they're not winning?
But what point does college football have to cut back on that? Because it's true. At what point are coaches going to say, we can't go up against these schools? They're paying $15 million for their O-line, D-line.
Blame the alumni. You guys are alumni at Boston College. Hey, listen, you want better athletes? Donate some money.
All right. This is my donation. The shirt.
You look at BC and you look at, they end up losing a really, really good quarterback. We saw that this weekend.
Ugh, that was really hard to watch, actually. Especially because people started going back into how Castellanos was saying, like, that he and Bill O'Brien butt heads in the beginning, and he's never had to deal with a coach like that. Like, just be quiet. Move on to your next place.
But that was clearly an issue for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't want to, he doesn't want to be coached. He's like that generation.
Good luck, then. Down the road.
And thank you to all the people that found me on X to let me know how Castellanos did. Thank you. Yeah. I was aware. I was watching it. Yeah. But the issue for me in terms of colleges goes back to that Brady quote we played.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is who he is for many reasons, but overcoming Drew Henson, having to earn his spot over the course of 5 years,
adversity,
teaches you you face adversity, and it teaches you. Now, they'll just go to another school.
And the thing about Billy O, and this is what a lot of college coaches don't do, and I think some of these kids, they buy into it, is they're not transparent, right? So Billy O is probably like telling Tommy, like, here's where you stand. If you're not able to get it done, we're going to put some where other coaches might
seem like it was injury related.
Well, but I'm just saying a lot of these college coaches are not transparent. They tell them everything to get the kid there. And then it's like, that's why you see so many kids leave. Just be honest with the kid from Jump Street.
All right. We'll get to the rest of They Said It coming up next. We are at Gillette Stadium, and at 8 in about 15 minutes, Boomer Esiason. For the first time this season on this show, we'll get to talk to Boomer about Bill Belichick last night, his debut as a college football coach, and about this New England Patriots team and what he is expecting when it comes to wins and the rest of the upcoming NFL season. All of that coming at 8 with Boomer Esiason on the Greg Hill Show at WEEI. We are back at Gillette Stadium on Patriots Monday, on a Tuesday, or Tie Tuesday, whatever you want to call it. Mic'd Up Monday. Mike Vrabel was with us last hour. And if you missed that, you can go back and listen to it in its entirety on the Odyssey app. And I thought good stuff from Mike Vrabel this morning. I mean, you got an answer on Micah Parsons and why he is not a New England Patriot. You got if you read into things, maybe understand a little bit more about why they released Jabril Peppers. Jabril Peppers doesn't understand why it was released based on his social media, but sounds like there's an intent to go younger is kind of what I got out of it. I lean toward Curtis and his lead this morning a little bit, where it seems like any of these guys that Elliot Wolf signed and did long-term deals with, Mike Vrabel is kind of out on a little bit.
Totally.
If you miss Mike Vrabel, go back and listen to that. And you can do that on the Odyssey app. And we're about to talk to Boomer Esiason in 10 minutes about all of these things.
And just quickly on that topic, not only is he not into them, but he is perfectly okay with leaks about the team's desire to move away from guys like Duggar. right? Like, if Duggar was his guy, if he brought him in, I highly doubt that we would all know that they were pursuing options of releasing him or trading him.
Yeah.
Whereas the Elliot Wolf guys, which is Duggar and Peppers and the other people, he has been less angered by the news being disseminated across the Boston sports media landscape about their potential demise with the organization.
Yeah, I mean, in the case of Peppers, I don't know that it's the most sound football decision. If it's not, and Mike Vrabel has gone out of his way, not only with us, but yesterday, to make it clear that it wasn't a scheme thing. I give him credit. He wants his guys. He wants the culture that existed here last year is he doesn't want to be a part of.
Why would you want it? You know, why he wants to clean house. Like the last couple of years, it just has been a disaster. So
then you should have released him last year when, you know, the police found him with cocaine on him. I mean, rather than sign him to a long-term deal and you're on the hook, you know, from a football perspective, you're on the hook for that money this year.
Why would they be doing this? I don't understand. Usually after the 53 is set, that's what you're start the first 3 weeks of the season, barring major injuries, that's your roster. It feels like ever since the deadline hit, they've been like, oh wait, we need to do something with all these different people. It's bizarre to me that I don't get it.
Yeah, I took more of Vrabel basically saying that the other two guys that they had at the safety position were younger, more athletic, can do more things than Jabril Peppers, maybe.
Wasn't that the case when they got down to 53 guys?
I guess it must have going into training camp, they were hoping for that, and then maybe training camp in the preseason basically showed, okay, that what we were hoping for, we can do. So we don't need Duggar. We don't need Jabril Peppers. And I get it that they want to start these other guys. I'm just wondering.
I mean, organizationally, is it a money thing?
No, I don't think it's a money thing. I think it's just.
It is a money thing in that they don't want to give up draft picks because they're cheap and they're caught and they're under control for the organization for 4 years.
Well, no, I think with Peppers, you're talking about Peppers.
Okay, but if you're talking about the offseason, like Parsons, that wasn't money. That was money related in that they don't want to give up draft picks to get players to bring them in here. That's the financial concern.
I'm just saying, if you're going out of your way to say it's not a scheme thing, that really only leaves, you know, bad culture guy,
right?
Or off the field,
right?
Like we don't have confidence in him off the field, right?
That would be that. But he said it was a scheme thing. He basically said we went younger. So,
but that's not a scheme. I mean, that
is part of the scheme is that we want younger, more athletic players.
But younger can also mean cheap.
No, but I don't think it means cheap in the money sense of it because the other kid, Hawkins. He's been in the league like 5 years, so he's similar to age when it comes to I think he might be 28 or something like that. I don't know how old Jabril Peppers is. I think when he says younger, it's a scheme sense of you just don't have the juice no more to give us what these other guys do. And then the fact is we're not going to have somebody who's 31 or 32 who's been in the league a long time.
Who's locked down for another 3 years. Well,
but even in the locker room, chirping.
Okay.
He's going to be.
So that's a culture thing.
Yeah, it's more of a culture.
I feel like Spillane and Harold Landry are the Bregmans of Vrabel. And their ability to lead was being somewhat stifled by guys like Peppers. So that's why they got rid of him.
Yeah.
And Greg, I just wanted to kind of like put a bow on it. Like the scheme isn't like Jabril Peppers doesn't fit the scheme. It's just he just doesn't have the juice no more. You know what I mean? So I guess the scheme is he's just not as young and athletic as some of these. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He might know the system and know the scheme. He just can't play it at the level they can. So
yeah. I don't understand why he doesn't say that. Like I mean that would be
he kind of did when he said a little bit. You know, we wanted to go younger.
All right, what was left? They said it wise, Sean.
We have Robert Spillane talked about how excited he was to become a captain of your New England Patriots. Here was Robert Spillane, our guy.
Yeah, I was just saying it's such an honor to be named a captain. You don't take these moments for lightly. I pour my heart and soul into this, and to be recognized by my teammates is everything to me. So,
all right, cool. Yeah.
And that's part of it. You buy into the culture, and if your teammates are voting you captain, you can kind of see that. And so when guys like Diggs or maybe some of these other guys, it's not that they're not liked. It's just maybe in the locker room, when you start voting for guys, you're like, oh, okay, this guy has a little bit better attitude.
You're on a lie detector.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever vote for yourself?
No, you can't vote for yourself, okay. Unfortunately.
Right. Even a hidden vote? You ever try to bribe anybody to vote?
I mean, yeah. I've done that before. Not with money, but hey, come on, man. You know, we done hung out before. Vote for your boy as captain. Definitely done that one.
All right. It's a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday, and we are at Gillette Stadium, and Boomer Esiason will join us next.